This We Are Disciple Makers sermon series is part of what I've been thinking about for myself as I approach 10 years in service here at Grace Church. 2023 will be 10 years that I've been here, and one of the things that, and one of the reasons I moved with this towards this sermon series is because I want to make sure that I'm doing what God's calling me to do and helping make disciples. I believe God's called me to do that in this capacity as pastor of Grace Church, and I want to make sure I'm doing that, but I also want to make sure we're doing that together as the body of Christ. What we're called to do since Jesus left is make disciples. Who make disciples? And it's not just like, you know, punching a time card. Us making disciples, we get to witness and see the transformation God brings in people's lives and in families and in entire communities. And so what's more thrilling than seeing that? And so that's who we're called to be as Grace Church. And so that's kind of what led me here. And part of that too is just really emphasizing the fact that we all do that together as the body of Christ. It's not just something Ted does or the ministry council or the church leadership does or you individually do. It's something we all do together, which is what Paul has been hitting on over and over again in Ephesians and Romans and now this morning in 1 Corinthians. So Paul is again writing to a church that in this situation is struggling with gifts and which gifts are better, which gifts are more important. And it's causing division within the church. Our purpose today is not to define all of those gifts, but really to use the analogy Paul is using as the body and being the body of Christ and how all that works together as what we should be striving to do, what we want to seek to do as followers of Jesus, as disciples, all of us together. So I'm going to read for you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is kind of beginning Paul's little dissertation on spiritual gifts and how they ought to be operating in the church and the importance of those spiritual gifts and people using those gifts. And we're going to kind of try and discover what does that mean for us? If Paul's writing to this church in a city called Corinth that we've never probably been to, or maybe it's the first time you ever heard of it, how does what he is saying to them apply to this body of Christ here in Schuylkill Haven? So he'll once again remind us of something that he said in his previous letters to other churches about being the body of Christ. Just as a body, though one, you walked in here as one body. Your arm didn't come in before your leg and foot, and then your head followed after. You came in here as one body. So you are one body, but you have many parts. But all its many parts form this one body that you and I have. And so Paul says, it's the same way with Christ, with being the body of Christ. There's many, there's diverse, you're unique, but we all form this one body. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, or if you remember the Ephesians letter, he was talking about one this, one that, one this, one that, talking about this unity and using the Trinity to show that there's diversity within the unity of even the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Same is true of us. We are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, these are different ethnicities. They didn't even sit in the same room together. That gets eradicated in the body of Christ. Whether slave or free, your social status didn't matter. Paul and James talks about that a lot if you ever read James's letter. There's something that goes away when we walk in to Grace Church. You don't stop being you. But at one time, a Jew would not walk into the same building as a Gentile. But not so with the body of Christ, because we're baptized by one Spirit. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink, he says. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. So Paul's using the body analogy. We talked about that the last two Sundays, gave examples of that and the importance of all of us functioning as the body. This morning, I also want to use a different piece of imagery, a different analogy of the many becoming one. This guy is making rope. There's lots of different strands that go into one piece of rope, and then those cords can make even larger rope that's even stronger. So obviously, if you got a small piece of rope, it's going to only hold so much, or you can only pull it so hard. And the bigger and bigger it gets, the more it can hold. Even a piece of thread, if you rip a piece of thread out of your shirt or something, then you take it by both ends and try and pull it apart, it's really hard to do that. So it's even harder if you do that with lots of thread tied together and woven together, that creates rope. But it starts out as many, all these many parts coming in to make one. And it's easy to see that that is true of us. Many different people walking in here today. You have a different background than I have. You might have a different ethnicity than I have. You have a different upbringing than I have. You grew up in a different place than I grew up in. You are wired differently than I'm wired. Your personality traits are unique and different. Every single one of you has a fingerprint that is not the same as anybody else in this room or anybody else on this planet. And so how, all of us being that different, walking into this place, how do we become one? And Paul's going to explain that. But there's a lot of power in that becoming one. I mean, Jesus himself prayed for the unity of believers in John 17 before he was crucified, because there's something powerful about that unity expressed as the body of Christ going out into this world. So here this guy's taking many things and making one. All those different cords coming together to make a piece of rope. So I think all of you probably have handled rope in your life before. You've used it for different things. You've tied it to different things, hoping it would stay together. You've probably maybe seen some rope frayed and split, which, depending on how big it is, can be pretty dangerous. You've maybe, you know, risked that. You've tied something to the back of your truck. You tied some rope to it, to the other end, and you're like, I hope it holds. And everybody else stands back. And a lot of times it does, because rope is super strong. When the body of Christ comes in as many, but becomes one, it's very strong. The body of Christ is very strong. It can do some amazing things, just like rope can do some amazing things. So this is the USS Enterprise. That's the carrier that I served on. And the thing that holds that giant hunk of metal to the side of this cement pier is rope. These lines right here, that's all rope. Now, it's maybe like that fat. I mean, it's really fat rope, but it's rope holding this giant ship to the pier. And when I was in the Navy and I was serving, there's these nets. You can't really see them, but these nets go all the way around the flight deck. And that was in case when the jets hit their engines and all this wind was being blown, you didn't get blown off the flight deck and fall into the ocean. Those nets were supposed to catch you. When you're coming into port and you're going to get tied up to the pier, my job while the ship is coming in is to crawl in these nets right here, to take a piece of rope with a shackle on the end, lean out over and start swinging it back and forth. All the while, the water's right there. One slip, I could fall. Now, I had some rope tied to me. And the guy that was holding that rope weighed about 90 pounds soaking wet, and he was going to save me if I fell. So I was trusting in God there. But I'd swing that rope back and forth, and somebody down here in what was called the porthole, they would have a hook. They'd grab the shackle, pull it in, and they'd pull the rope in, and then they would shoot all these lines that are right here onto the pier. And the guys right here on the pier would grab that, and then they'd start separating the rope, and people would put the line coming from the ship onto these bollards right there. That rope is the only thing holding that ship to the pier. You can see the anchors are up. There's nothing else holding that ship to the pier. That's pretty amazing. just a bunch of thread put together so much that it's about that fat, but it can hold this giant hunk of metal to the cement pier right there. The many becoming one, I think, is the imagery Paul is going for, but I think can be seen in this metaphor of the rope as well. Those many threads becoming one, tied together, can do some amazing things. That is true of the church. That is exactly true of what God desires to do through his church, and he's been doing it ever since Jesus left. And there is story after story after story of God doing amazing things through his church. When his church is unified and together, and each part doing its work, each ligament held together by the other, can do some amazing things. And so Paul says that's why it's so important for all of us to be using our gifts and none of us to be thinking your gift, my gift, is more important than somebody else's. So he goes on to say, when he's talking about the use of gifts in the body of Christ, the many becoming one, he says, now if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Now that's absurd. The hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. Or the foot says, well, I'm not needed for this part and can just stop being the foot. It's there. It's always there. And it can't say it's not needed. It's essential. Your body can't function properly without the foot or the hand. We can do things to help our bodies function the way they should, but we were made this way so that we could function properly in society, in living, in work, in all the things that we say and do. And he goes on to say, and if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of smell be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense, if the whole body were, wait, let me reread that. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? There we go. That makes sense. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? Obviously, if we were just a head, we couldn't move. If we were just an eye, we wouldn't have all the other senses. If we were just an upper body, we wouldn't have the legs and the feet and all that. It's clear he's making the point. Every part of your body is needed. And God placed them where he wants them to be. So I shouldn't take my ear and put it on the bottom of my foot and surgically remove it and put it down there. That wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't do what it's supposed to do. Paul is saying, in the same way, God has done that for us. Our many parts make up one body, and he has put you where you need to be. God has designed his body, the body of Christ, how he wants it to be. God has given you the gifts he wants you to have. You have certain talents and abilities different from mine. Apparently, God wanted you to have those talents and abilities. And God has given you gifts that he wants you to have to be used. And if we all function using those gifts, we're a healthy, normal body. Or if we all function using those gifts, we're this rope that can bring a giant ship to a pier and hold it there. And so Paul's saying the foot can't say to the hand or the hand to the foot that I'm not needed. And so if you came this morning or if you've been listening to all this and you're wondering yourself, well, I don't really have much to offer. I'm not sure I'm really needed. Paul's saying that's the exact opposite way you ought to be thinking about your participation and incorporation into this body. Whatever you have, God says, is needed here at this church, at this body of Christ. If we were all the same, we wouldn't function properly. If we all had the same gifts, Grace Church couldn't do and fulfill what Grace Church is called to do. If all of you were like me and had my gifts, I'd leave this church. I don't want a bunch of people like me here at this church. That's scary and depressing, and I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. But that's not how it works. We're not all like me. You bring something different than I bring, something that I don't have and really can't bring because I'm just not made that way, and God hasn't empowered me that way. Have you ever thought about the fact that Grace Church has exactly what Grace Church needs to make disciples, to do the work of ministry? God has given Grace Church everything Grace Church needs. That's you and me, to equip disciples for the work of ministry. Now, we all do that in different ways, but each of your gifts are just as important as my gifts. And so the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. The eye can't say to the ear, I don't need you. And you shouldn't say either that I don't really have anything to offer. You do. God has given you exactly what this church needs. If you are a follower of Jesus, empowered by his Holy Spirit, and that's who incorporates us into this body of Christ, because when Jesus returns, that song that was being played, Jesus is coming back, and he is. He's coming for his bride. The bride of Christ is the church. It's not a bunch of random individuals. God has given you something that is exactly what Grace Church needs. And Paul says we should not look at any gift as being inferior to another gift. That was part of the problem he was addressing. That was causing divisions. And he goes on to make this point, that when those divisions are caused, the church is going to be divided, and that's detrimental to the witness of Christ in this world, the body of Christ. So when that line starts getting torn, if you would just cut a few threads on that rope, it's not as strong as it's supposed to be. Now, if you cut one of those cords, it's even weaker. And every time another thread is cut, that rope gets weaker and weaker, and before long it's frayed and it rips apart. And I had to watch videos on the aircraft carrier of what happens when that line that holds that aircraft carrier to the pier separates. It'll take your arm off. It'll take your leg off. And maybe you've been a part of a church body that has split, has been divided. It's not pretty. And there's a lot of brokenness and a lot of healing that has to happen as a result. And Paul is trying to emphasize the point that each one of your gifts are needed and have value. And nobody's gift is better than everybody else's gift. Yeah, maybe you see Ted using his gifts more than what you use them, but that doesn't mean that Ted's gifts are better or more important than your gifts. And it'd be really bad if I look down on people because they don't have or share the same gifts that I have. Paul even says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Have you ever gotten a cut on your little pinky finger and tried to tie your shoe? It is a pain in the neck. Or if you hurt your right pointer finger and you write right-handed. Like these little parts of us that seem meaningless, then you try and do a normal everyday task and it's a pain and sometimes it hurts. They're just as needed as the head, where the brain is and you do all your thinking from. Paul goes on to say, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. When we do things like the church left the building, every part rejoices with it. Whatever your part was in it, we rejoice together in it. And even those parts of us that seem insignificant, or Paul is utilizing some imagery there of those special parts, those hidden parts that we treat with extra special modesty, has even more value because it's from those parts. If you're getting where I'm going with all this special modesty talk and hidden talk, and this is G-rated sermon, so I'm not going to go any further than that. Those special things, actually God gives special honor to because they're part of the creative process. Those parts that we hide, those parts that we're modest about, God actually gives special honor to because they're participating in what God has done in creating. We participate in life. God gives us that. So even those parts of us, those talking about the body of Christ, those places, you the people that think, well, I have nothing to offer. I'm not that good at getting up and talking. I'm not that good at reaching out. I just don't know what I have. Paul is saying those parts are just as important and sometimes even more important as the body uses their gifts together. See, it's easy to see the gifts that are out in front. The gifts that I have, I do this every Sunday. I believe God has called me into pastoral ministry to help lead his church, not mine, his, to do the work of discipleship. So that puts me in places where I have to make decisions. I have to help lead. I've got to help bring vision to the leadership team. I do a lot of those things. And maybe it seems like, well, I could never do those things, and I'm not even gifted close to that. I read one of the gifts that God gives to his church, and some of you have that, that I think are just as important and maybe even more important in breaking down walls and barriers, and that's the gift of hospitality. You and I have probably experienced that gift before. If you've been to somebody's home and they have that gift, it's just a great evening. They do and bend over backwards to cater to you because you're their guest, not because you've done something to earn it, but you're their guest. And them doing that is a special thing. And it kind of eases any tension that might be there, helps to facilitate some conversation maybe. And even if there's animosity in the relationship that, hey, why don't we come over and have a meal together, starts breaking down some of those walls and some of those barriers. God has given the gift of hospitality to the church. And some of the comments that I've had from people who have joined Grace Church family is that they feel welcomed as soon as they walk in. Everybody was super friendly. There's people that kind of go out of their way just to make sure they're comfortable. That's hospitality. It's you seeing somebody else and saying, I want to go and serve them in whatever way I can. That is such a powerful gift. In fact, it's a gift that one of the missions organizations that I work with seeks to use that when they're trying to reach Chinese students at universities here in the United States. They encourage people to invite that student into their home to show them hospitality. Because that has profound effects on that person. And the willingness of this stranger to invite me into their home and serve me. Now, our culture is a little bit different. I don't know if people would see that as big of a deal. I think it's important. But in cultures like theirs, it just starts breaking walls down right away. And there's this openness to talk about why they would be willing to do that. Ted's gift is not better than that gift. That gift is just as important in making disciples as me standing up here and reading from God's word and trying to help explain it to you and what God's saying in it. Some of you have those gifts that need to be used, that need to be put into practice. Because we aren't functioning properly if we're not all using them. And the more that we use them for each other, the less and less there's division among us when we see that your gift is just as valuable as my gift. And part of what we're supposed to be doing as a church body, and specifically if you're a leader in this church, is identifying those gifts in people, encouraging them to use those gifts, giving them confidence to see, well, I feel like I have nothing to give. Well, why don't you come help me with this and see if that's something you could do? Or I've seen you serve in this outreach event, in this discipleship ministry, in this fellowship event, here doing this at the church. You do an amazing job with that, and people just love working with you. You're just a great encourager. That's how it works. That's how it should be. Imagine if all of us identified those gifts in our lives and used them as the body of Christ. Imagine what God could do. Imagine that rope holding some gigantic piece of metal. Amazing things God can do when the many become one and we fulfill what our function is. I can't fill that myself. The leaders can't fill that themselves. You can't fill it yourself. It's something we do together. The more we're doing that, the more united we become. And Paul closes this little portion before he gets into chapter 13, which we call the love chapter. You've heard it read before at probably almost every single wedding, or at least a portion of it at every single wedding. Paul is basically saying, if we're going to do exactly what we're talking about here in chapter 12, then we need to be able to do chapter 13, and you can read that on your own at home. That's what love looks like. He's not talking about husband and wife, although that ought to be a part of husband and wife. He's actually talking to all of us as the church. And he says to us, he said to the church in Corinth, and he's saying to you and me, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of the body of Christ of Grace EC Church. God has you here for a reason and for a purpose, and he has given you exactly what Grace Church needs. He has been doing that faithfully for a long time. That stone out there says 1895. Since at least 1895, Grace Church has been seeking to be disciples and make disciples. And God, in his faithfulness, has given Grace Church exactly what they need. Some of you didn't grow up at Grace Church, and you're here now. Because God, I think, saw Grace Church needed something, and so he brought you here and incorporated you into this local body. And now our rope is getting even stronger than it was before. And there's some people that were never following Jesus sitting in here. And God gave you a gift to be used. And the more we use that gift, the stronger our church becomes, the more amazing things we see God do. Each one of you is a part of this body of Christ to be used in some way to be his representation in the world around us. Now, he's going to list out some gifts again. We're not going to define all these gifts, but he's going to list out some gifts and make the final point about all of us using them together. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers. We heard that language before in the letter to the Ephesians. Then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles? Those are rhetorical questions. You know the answer to that question. We've just read 12 through 25. No. We're not all a head, we're not all a hand, we're not all an eye, we're not all a foot. No, we're not all these things. We're all different. Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? No. He says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. The greatest gift is service in love, and chapter 13 is that. As I said, you can read that on your own. What Paul is saying is that each one of your gifts is needed and is important here at Grace Church. God has gifted you with what he wants you to have. He's wired you the way he wants you to be wired. He's given you your personality to come and be a part of this body, and he's incorporated you into the body of Christ so that we might be that strong rope, that as each of us starts using our gift the way God wants us to use it, we get stronger and stronger, and we see God do amazing things. Now, maybe some of you are thinking, I don't know that I have a gift. And I want to encourage you. You do have a gift. And it needs to be used here at Grace Church. And we want to help you use that gift. You have natural talents and abilities that God can use in service to his church. And God has empowered you in ways that other people just don't do. As I said, that gift of hospitality, there's just something about that person that when they're involved in it, it's fun to be there. They cater to you. They just make you feel like you're the most important person. That's a gift to the church. And we want to help you figure that out. David's going to be continuing this sermon series when I leave. And in November, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond. We're going to put something in your hand to say, what do we do at Grace Church? What is the work of ministry happening here? And how am I a part of that? What can I do to be a part of that? How am I serving as a part of that? We're going to put something in your hand that says, here's what these gifts are all about. And gives you an opportunity to think about, pray about, maybe get involved to say, I wonder if this is my gift. I really enjoy it. Is God empowering me to do this gift? Because here's the reality of spiritual gifts. The measurement of a spiritual gift's value, how valuable it is not how a Christian benefits from their own gift. The value of the gifts that Ted has is not to see how much Ted can get out of that gift, to be the best pastor, preacher, person in the world. The value of the gifts I have are not measured by what I do. It's actually measured by how the gifts that God has given me benefit all of you. That's how the value of the gift is measured, because the gifts are given for the body. And believe me, when I'm using my gifts, I feel like I'm being used by God. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I get the special privilege of being able to use those gifts with people in Nepal, in India, in Liberia, in Japan, in Mexico. It is a blessing to do that. It's not that it's always easy. It's not that I love leaving my family. It's not that I love leaving doing the stuff we're doing at Grace Church. I'm going to miss Trunk or Treat. I'm really sad about that, actually. It's a fun night. But the gifts that I have, God's given me for all of you. The gift that you have, God's given that to you for everybody else sitting around you. The people you rub shoulders with walking in here on a Sunday, the ones you participate in church left the building with, the ones you sit down beside and have that snack with, that connection cafe. Those gifts are for the work of ministry for all of us. And imagine if all of us used those gifts, how strong that rope would be, how intertwined and connected it would be, and the amazing things God could do with that. And so part of my job, I think, is to help you figure that out. Because I know you have a gift, even for those of you who don't think you do. And we're going to try and discover what that gift is. And we're going to do that in November and on our Friendship Sunday, as I mentioned earlier. It's one service that Sunday. And my prayer is that we're going to hear from some people that are using their gifts. Hear from some people that are being discipled and making disciples, and growing in their faith in Jesus. And my hope is that as you hear that from people of Grace Church, you can see the role, the part you played in that, or you're going to play in what God wants to do here at Grace. So if you're sitting out here, if you're listening at home, and you're thinking to yourself, I'm not sure I do have a gift, I want you to know that you do. At least that's what God says. Because he's the one who's given it to you. And he said, you're exactly what Grace Church needs. I want you to pray about what that gift is and how you can begin using it at Grace Church. I'm convinced the more we do that, the more united we become, the stronger we become, and God's going to do some amazing things. He's already doing some amazing things. Imagine seeing your life turn around. Imagine seeing that family's life turn around. That happens when we function and operate as the body of Christ, each of us using the gifts that God has given us to serve him and his body, and the value of those gifts are actually measured by when I serve you. And when you serve the person sitting next to you and the person up here and the person that isn't here today. So you've got 2 weeks while I'm gone to be thinking and praying about that, and then we're going to give you an opportunity to respond in some way. And then we're going to celebrate We Are Disciple Makers on November 13th as a church family, and we're going to share a meal together as we celebrate that and believe that God desires to do more than we can think or imagine, Scripture tells us, when we're serving him as the body of Christ. Let's pray. God, thank you for the gifts that you have given your church. The people that are here, Lord God, you gave them the gifts you wanted them to have, and they're exactly what Grace Church needs. To do exactly what you've called us to do. And to share with the world around us what it means that Jesus has come. To live our lives in ways that honor him. God, I pray that if someone here today or at home or has been a part of this sermon series is wondering, do I even have a gift? Lord, I pray that you would speak to them. I pray that the Spirit would reveal that gift to them, Lord. I pray that they would look for ways to be involved, to participate, and figure out what that gift might be. God, the more that we are using our gifts, the stronger we become, the more united we become, and the more amazing things we'll see you accomplish. God, you've decided not to do those things on your own, but to do those things through your church, regular people like us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would continue to speak to us as we seek and strive to be disciples and make disciples by using the gifts you've given us for the body of Christ here at Grace CC Church. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.